Hello and welcome to Pardes from Jerusalem, the podcast series from the Pardes Institute of Jewish Studies in Jerusalem. I'm Larry Kluger, Pardes alum. This week, Balak. This week, please take a moment and rate us on iTunes or wherever you find your podcasts. Rating doesn't take too long and does make a big difference. Thank you very much. This week, Balak with Rabbi Alex Israel. Rabbi Alex Israel is a member of the Pardes faculty. And now, Rabbi Alex Israel.
Thank you, Larry. This week we read a very exciting and dramatic and colorful parsha, Parshat Balak, where we meet Balak, the king of Moab, who is confronted with the Jewish nation who are encamped on his border and tries to hire Bilam, the prophet, in order to curse the Jewish people. And I assume we all know the story's basic outline, which is that Bilam is hired to curse the Jewish people, but no sooner does he try to curse them, his curses come out as blessings, and this frustrates Balak immensely until Balak has him fired, and off he goes back to his country. And I'd like to begin by asking a couple of questions. I guess the first question is, really, what difference does it make if Bilam curses the people? Let him curse, curse away, say what you like. Why is it so important to God that the curses come out as blessings? Is there some peculiar power of the tongue? Some power of words? I mean, that might be the implication that we have, that our words have real power, and we should be careful what we say, because who knows the sort of mystical effect of language? That might be the answer, but really, what is the secret of a blessing and the secret of a curse? And the second thing that I'd like to focus on is the peculiar aspect of vision in this story. And let's maybe dive in to the story. I say vision because it's fascinating that when Balak wants to curse the people, it happens in three different increments, maybe even four, three plus one. Let me explain. The first time, you can see this in the last lines of chapter 22, Vayhi baboker v'yikach Balak et Bilam v'yaleu bamot Baal v'yar misham ketzei ha'am. In the morning, Balak took Bilam up to a place called Bamot Baal. It seems like all of these places are places where there are pagan significance. This is a place which is related to the Baal. And he could see a portion of the people. And it's there that they make different sacrifices. And in fact, Bilam turns to Balak and says, you know, you wait here, and maybe God will come to me, Uduvama Yareini. He will show me something. And here I want to focus on the visual. The place he takes him to is a place where he can see just a portion of the people. And he says, what will God Yareini, the verb lirot, to see? In fact, this word, this verb, ra'ah, comes up 19 times in our parasha, the ocean of vision. In the next place, Balak takes Bilam to a different place. It failed in the first place, so he says, come with me to another place from which you can see them. You'll see only a portion of them. You'll not see all of them, and curse them from there. Mekom acher asher tirenu misham efet chaseyu tireh v'kula lo tireh. In other words, I'll take you to a place in which you'll be able to see even more of the Israelite camp. And of course there, instead of uttering a curse, he utters a blessing. And the third time, he says, Vayomer Balak el Bilam lechana yikachacha el makom acher ula yishar be'inei ha'elohim v'kaboti lo limisham. And come and take them to another place. Maybe God will deem it right that you will be able to curse them from there. And it's at that place where Bilam gives his amazing speech of Matovu Ahalecha Yaakov, Mishkanotecha Yisrael. It says, Vayisa Bilam et Inav, Vayar, he lifts up his eyes, and he sees the Israelite camp, tribe by tribe, and he says, how fair are your tents, O Jacob, your dwellings, O Israel. Apparently this is all about vision. This is all about seeing. If you can see more of Israel, then you'll curse them more. And yet here there is obviously something phenomenally paradoxical, because Bilam, who is meant to be the person who can see Maybe I should even stress, if you look in chapter 24, when Bilam speaks, he says, the word of Bilam, son of Beor, the word of the man whose eye is open. The word of you hear God's speech, you behold visions from the Almighty. Hashem mechezeh shaddai echezeh. He sees the visions of God. Nofel ugului einayim. He is prostrate, but with eyes unveiled. Bilam is meant to be the person who sees. He sees so much. And yet, of course, what happens with Bilam? Well, probably the most famous scene in the parasha is where Bilam's donkey or Bilam's ass is going along the road. He sees an angel blocking his way, and Bilam does not see it at all. And the first time he, you know, goes off the path, the second time he crushes Bilam's leg against a wall, the third time he simply sits down because he sees this angel who is stationed in front of him with his sword unsheathed. And at this point, we've seen three times how the donkey, the ass, can see more than Bilam himself. And he beats the ass with his stick. And at that point, the Lord opens the ass's mouth and starts speaking. And even before that, right? Sorry, immediately after that, even first the ass can speak, but only after that, Vayegal Hashem etenei Bilam, Vayaret malach Hashem nitzav baderech. God reveals Bilam's eyes, and he sees the angel of God standing on the way. This is an amazing thing. Is Bilam the person who can see? It seems to be that the whole parasha sets up. Let's let Bilam see. Let's let him have a visual. If he can see more of Israel, he will curse more of Israel. Bilam describes himself as the man who can see. And yet, his donkey can see more than him. Now, there is no doubt that there are certain parodial elements of this parasha, speaking donkeys, this frustrated, bumbling king who makes an incredible international hire of a prophet who he pays a huge amount of money for, and then who comes and every time he opens his mouth does exactly the opposite of what the king would like. When my children were small, I used to tell them the story of this parasha in a dramatic way, and they would be in fits of laughter. It matches the slapstick humor of a 6-year-old in many ways. But this is the Torah. There's something very serious about it. What exactly is going on here? So maybe I need to hone my second question before I asked, what is the power of blessing? And now I'm going to ask, what is the power of vision? What gives vision? What really is this a particular property which you need to have in order to see? Why could Bilam see, and when couldn't he see? And here I think we really are getting to the crux of the matter. Let's begin with the scene of the donkey. When the donkey is beaten by Bilam, I'll read you the text here from Perek Chavbet, Pasuk Chavav, chapter 22, verse 26. It says, once more the angel of the Lord moved forward and stationed himself on a spot so narrow there was no room to swerve right or left. Vatera atonet malach Hashem. The donkey saw the angel of God, Vatir bat tachat Bilam, and it simply lay down under Bilam, and Bilam got furious, and he beat the ass with his stick. Vayichar af Bilam, vayachet ha'aton b'makel, vayiftach Hashem pi ha'aton. God opened the mouth of the ass, and he said to Bilam, Ma asita lecha? What did I do to you? Ki ikitani zeh shalosh shugalim, that you have beaten me these three times. And Bilam says to the Aton, Ki italalta bi, you've made a mockery of me. If I had a sword in my hand, I would have killed you. And the donkey says to Bilam, Halo anachi atoncha sherachavta alai, meodecha deyom azeh, ha'asken iskanta la'asot lechako. Look, I'm your ass who you've been riding from the time you've ever ridden anything until this day. Have I ever done this to you? And Bilam answers, Lo. Vayomer, lo. No. I've never done that. I've always been perplexed by this conversation between the ass and Bilam. What should he have said? The ass might have said to him, why are you hitting me? Don't you see the angel? He doesn't say that. He says, don't you trust me? I've always been reliable for you. You've always ridden on me. I've never taken you the wrong way. I've never gone into a field. I've never crossed your leg. I've never crouched down. If I'm crouching down, then maybe the reason why I'm doing it is it's something you can't see, but don't you trust me? This leads me to think that maybe this is less about what you can see and what you can't see, or if I remember correctly from reading The Little Prince, what is essential is hidden to the eye. What is essential is hidden to the eye. You know, it's fascinating when Bilam describes himself at the beginning of chapter 24. He uses a very strange phrase. On the one hand, he says, Nu'um hagever s'tum ayin, or s'tum ayin. And the next one, he talks about how he is nofel glui inayim. Galui inayim means revealed eyes, but s'tum ha'ayin means that your eyes are closed. And everybody's perplexed by this. So most people think that s'tum ha'ayin is a sort of strange phrase. It means that you actually, your eye is somehow more open than usual. In other words, he has, this is the way that the Targum Unculus translates it, and in his wake, many of the medieval commentators understand this phrase as Nu'um hagever s'tum ha'ayin, that he can see very, very well. That's how the Bechor Shor explains it. That's how the Rashbam explains it. The Ibn Ezra, unlike his usual self, says, "V'yeshomrim ki ayin achat hayta leBilam v'zeh derech drash." The Midrash has an idea that Bilam only had one eye, that one of his eyes had been closed. In other words, he had one eye closed and one eye open. And of course, when you have one eye closed and one eye open, you lack perspective. We see in three dimensions because we have two eyes. But if you only have one eye, you see things skewed. Bilam see things skewed. Why? It's a very good question, why. But he's not... How will he see? Well, he can see when he is nofel uglui einayim. And again, here I refer to the commentaries like Rashi, who says, when does he really see? When he is in a state of prophecy. And how does he see Israel? One of the things that he says about them is, lo hi bit aven b'Yaakov v'lo ra'a amal b'Yisrael. Adonai Elohav imo truat melech bo. He says, no harm is in sight for Yaakov, and no woe for Israel. The Lord their God is within them, and their kings acclaim in their midst. God who freed them from Egypt is like the horns of a wild ox. What's he saying here? That God does not see any aven, any iniquity in Yaakov. He sees no fault in Israel. What he's essentially saying is, I'll put it this way, is that God is in love with the Jewish people. What he is able to see, is everything perfect in the Jewish people? No. Are we a perfect nation? If anybody who's been reading the Torah knows that we're very, very good at complaining. The Jewish people is a tough bunch. But God is going to turn the blessing, turn the curse into a blessing, because God loves the Jewish people. Right? As he says, how can I curse when God has not cursed? Umayazom, how can I be angry where God is not angry? They are a people who dwell alone and not reckoned amongst the nations. Now, if you take something like that, they are a people who dwell alone and not reckoned amongst the nation, is that a blessing or a curse? And once again, I come back to the one-eye, two-eye thing. It's a question of perspective. On the one hand, it's very special that the Jews are a people who dwell alone. We have a unique destiny, unique history. But on the other hand, that means we're very isolated. We're very vulnerable. Is that a blessing or is that a curse? That's a great question. And here we come to questions of the way I come into meeting a person. Here, let me share a personal story. I'll never forget when I got one of my first jobs as a teacher in an institution here in Jerusalem. And I was at a wedding a few weeks before I took on the job, and I met one of the senior faculty members in this new institution. And when he met me, he greeted me and he says, "Are you Alex Israel?" I said, "Yes." He says, "Wow, I've heard you're joining our faculty. I'm so excited. This is just going to be great. I'm really excited to see you." Can I tell you, from that moment on, I've got to say, till this day, I'm so thankful to that person, because you come into a new institution and you wonder how people are looking at you. Frequently, you look at yourself as very small, very junior, a newcomer. You wonder whether people are looking at you as the new child on the block, the new kid on the block, and you don't know whether you're going to really be welcome. This man's welcome was for me the equivalent of a blessing. What's a blessing? It's something which makes a person grow. And here I'd like to share something that I once heard in a shiur by Rabbi Jonathan Sacks. And he had a beautiful, beautiful idea. In Pirkei Avot, chapter 2, there is a Mishnah which talks about the students of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. And it tells us about five different students. There's a Mishnah which says Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai had five students: Rabbi Elazar ben Hyrcanus, Rabbi Yoshua ben Hanania, Rabbi Yossi the priest, Rabbi Shimon ben Netanel, and Rabbi Elazar ben Arach. And he would recount each of their praises. For example, he would say Rabbi Elazar ben Hyrcanus is like a cistern which doesn't lose a drop. Rabbi Yoshua ben Hanania, happy is the one who gave birth to him. Rabbi Elazar ben Arach is an ever-strengthening fountain. Rabbi Sacks asked the question, what we meant to learn from such a mission. Rabbi Yochanan has students. He says, this one's a genius, this one's creative, this one's this, this one's that. What does that teach us? And he said, it teaches us a lot. Let's think about when we were back in school, choosing our way in life. And we didn't know, should I be a mathematician? Am I any good at this? Am I good at science? Am I good at language? Am I good at writing? Am I good at history? When you have a teacher who looks at you and says, oh my goodness, wow, look, you're really fantastic in that area. I see you're an incredible writer. That makes us stand up and take a look at ourselves. It's a blessing. Why? It's a blessing because suddenly we see something in ourselves which is special. Likewise, when you have an incredibly critical teacher, that's a curse. Why? It's a curse because anything we do, they'll look down and they'll say, your writing isn't good enough. Instead of saying, oh, look at your writing. If you just change this or that, or you're very creative, but you need to work on your spelling. Ooh, so then I know I've got a tremendous gift, but I've also got things I have to work on. That's the difference between a blessing and a curse. A blessing focuses us on the good within us. A curse focuses on the bad. This, I think, was exactly what the donkey, or the ass, said to Bilam. Bilam was seeing with his eyes. He was saying, you've crouched down. You've humiliated me. You've crushed my leg. What are you doing to me? And the donkey turns around to Bilam and says, well, don't you trust me? Isn't there a relationship here? I've been your loyal donkey for so long. So don't look at what I'm doing. Look at who I am. Do you think I'd do this if I wasn't protecting you? I'm protecting you. Bilam, sometimes what is essential is hidden to the eye. Bilam, you're seeing just with your eyes. You know, it's fascinating, the opening phrase of the parsha. The opening phrase. How does the parsha begin? It says, Vayar Balak ben Zippor, Balak, the king of Moab, sees, that word seeing, everything that Israel had done to the Amorites. And then he turns around to Bilam and he says that this nation, Kisa et Ein Haaretz, chapter 22, verse 6, they have covered the eye of the land. Yoshev Mimuli. They have covered the eye of the land. Again, the question is that a good thing or a bad thing? When he looks at them as an enemy, he says they have covered the eye of the land. When Bilam looks at the people from God's perspective, he says, Matovu ohalecha Yaakov, mishkanotecha Yisrael. Look at the Jewish people. They look at their tents, look at their mishkan, look at their spirituality, look at their potential. Everything is a question of perspective, or I should say it this way. How do we see? Is seeing more about vision, or is it more about perception? Or Let's put it a different way. What is behind the eye? And here I turn back to Pirkei Avot. And I look at Pirkei Avot, chapter 5, Mishnah 19, which says this. It compares the students of Avraham Avinu, of Abraham, and the students of Bilam Harasha, and the students of Bilam. And it says, what is the difference between the students of Avraham Avinu and Bilam Harasha? The answer is, the students of Abraham have, amongst other things, an ayin tova, a good eye. And the students of Bilam have an evil eye. What does that mean? That means two people can walk in the same room. And one can say to people, oh, look how wonderful you look. And the other one can say, oh, you know, your shoes aren't polished. One person can walk into a house and say, oh, what beautiful eye you have on the wall. And the other one can notice that, you know, I don't know, the drapes haven't been changed for a while. Do you look at the cup half full? Or do you look at the cup half empty? Do you have an ayin tova? Do you raise people up when you see them? Do you look at the good and see that as something from which you can grow? In other words, you see what you see, but what do you perceive? That is the difference between a blessing and a curse. Avraham Avinu's students have an ayin tova. That's why they welcome people. They welcome people in because they realize, if I only give them some food, they can carry on in their day. They can do so much great. They raise people up. But the students of Bilam HaRasha are the ones who have an ayin ra'ah, an evil eye. They lack the positive perspective. They only see with one eye and not with two eyes. When God is talking through Bilam, he utters blessings. But when he stops talking, he utters curses. And he is the person who Balak thought could curse the people because Bilam was a person who couldn't see beyond the visual. When he saw his trusted donkey crouching down, all he could do was beat it, criticize it, instead of, as the donkey said, don't you trust me? I'm your donkey, who you've ridden on to this day. Would I ever treat you this way? Look at who I could be. So this is a story about what we see and what we perceive. Or, put it differently, what is the attitude that we have before we even see? We can come into a given situation, but the question is, what is our attitude behind everything? And that will change our vision 100 degrees. In this regard, this is the difference between ayin tova and ayin ra'ah, and I'd say more than that. That is the difference between a blessing and a curse. How do you change a blessing to a curse? Somebody comes home and they're feeling absolutely great, and then somebody criticizes them for something they did. They fall down flat, unless they've got a very, very robust sense of personal sense of self. And likewise, sometimes you can feel really negative about something, and then somebody says, wow, you just gave such a great class, or we had such a great time at your house for dinner, or that was a wonderful speech you gave at that dinner, and suddenly you feel on top of the world. Why? Because somebody has seen the good side in what you did, and that is a blessing. And when somebody only sees the negative side, then that is a curse. And this can make a difference to all the perspective. That is the ability to see with two eyes, or maybe to see that which is beyond vision, to be able to see with a different sense of vision. And that is the secret of the blessing that God had for Israel. God in this parasha is expressing his love of Israel. And when you love somebody, when you really love somebody, you don't look at them with criticism, you look at them with generosity, you look at them out of the perspective of a relationship, and then you can see the good in the person who is opposite you. So this is all about vision, eyes, blessings. And when we all have a blessed week in which we show a positive perspective to everybody around us, and the other people look at us with an ayin tova, with a good eye. Shabbat shalom. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Rabbi Israel. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you in the next episode of Pardes from Jerusalem.